Good morning. Good morning, visitors. I know we have a couple here today. And good morning to those who are online worshiping with us. So good to worship with you all. 3 months ago, I have the privilege of witnessing a baptism. A terminally ill person was baptized. Even though he has lung cancer, he can hardly breathe. But when I saw him that day, I didn't notice any difference. He has so much peace, so much calmness. I didn't even know he was suffering. I know he had the sickness. And he was dying. Actually, I met him a month ago online. We prayed together. I mean, everything sounds so normal. He prays and he prays. Nothing extraordinary. I can feel so much peace in him by listening to him. Even on that day he got baptized, he recognized me, even though we haven't met in person, but that was the first day, I mean, we met in person. He recognized me. Oh, you are Brother George. He greeted me. There's so much peace inside of him that no one will ever imagine he is so sick. We minister named and baptized him and his wife on that day, which is a Friday. And 8 days later, on a Saturday morning, he passed away. God called him home. He has so much peace. Even on the day he got baptized, he was so calm that after he got baptized, he blessed his son. There's no fear in him. I asked that question, why? And that's why when I look at it this morning, the book of James is about suffering. So I have a question for every one of us. Do we ever choose suffering? Do we ever choose suffering? I don't know. What do you think? Suffering are usually caused by others, right? Do we choose suffering? Are there times that we are happy to suffer? Do we suffer and then we're still happy about it? I know many of us, well, not me, are so good in instruments. Spending endless time on the piano, on the violin, on the cello, practicing your voice, singing to be perfect. Hit the perfect note at the perfect time. Or all those athletes pumping iron, running, building up your endurance every day. That is suffering. Your muscles hurt. The blisters on your fingers. Those are suffering. But at that time, those times that we choose to suffer and we're still happy about it, we look forward to it because we know one day I'll be a very good pianist. I'll be a very good violinist. I'll be a very good soloist, and I'll be in the marathon. I'll be in the Olympics, knowing that is our destiny. So there are times we choose to suffer. A lot of times we don't like suffer, but so how do we handle it when we suffer? No matter it's caused by us, ourselves, or caused by others. Today, we're going to look at the book of James. So if you have a Bible app or your Bible, you can open up to James chapter 1. James is talking to the Israelites in diaspora. That is, they were dispersed all over the empire of the Roman. They were suffering. They were under trial. They're going a lot of pains. They were having turmoils. Seems like it's hopeless to them. but they firmly believe in Jesus. And that's why James is writing to them to encourage them and to affirm their faith. In this book of James, we find true wisdom because he is talking to believers. The book is about true religion, true faith, and true wisdom. Though a lot, some of us maybe think we get baptized, we are saved, then we are good, we are Christians. But I may disappoint you. That's only half the story. The whole story is Christian is a lifetime commitment. It's not only getting baptized. So actually, when you ask for a manual to be a Christian, the book of James can be your manual, can be my manual. It is, because it teaches me what is true religion, true faith, and true wisdom. So let's stand and read. We all stand and read with me. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brothers boast in his exaltation and enrich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with his scorching heat and withers the grass. His flowers fails and his beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the mist in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, for God has promised to those who love him. Yes, Father, Lord, we know you love us. We hold on to your promise that you have sent us Jesus. His blood has covered our sins. Now that we are Christians, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. May you speak to every one of us how to pursue our life in Jesus, how to pursue our life in following Christ. When we suffer, when we're under turmoil, how do we endure just like Jesus when he spent his last moment on the cross? That is suffering caused by us. Father, we want to know how. We want to know how to follow you and honor you, even though in the midst of suffering, no matter it's physical, mentally, or emotionally, then we want to follow you. We want to honor you. Father God, will you help us to be faithful and endure this trial in our life? Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today, we're going to look at three things: trials, temptations, and then it brings us to triumph. It's all in this chapter. Let's look at the book of James. It said, verse 2, it says, count all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. This word trials is a very special word. In Greek, the original language is parasmas. Actually, it's the same word as temptation. So it can be translated to either trial and temptation. This word parasmas appear in the New Testament for 21 times, 2 times in James, and both were translated into trials. But other times, they are translated into temptation. Also in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. It's the same word. So how do you tell what is a trial and what is a temptation? Such a fine line. How do the interpreters interpret that? Are they so close? But James is telling all the Israelites, count it all joy, my brothers. Count it all joy doesn't necessarily mean when you are having suffering, you are having trial, that you'll be joyful then. Oh God, I'm so happy to be sick. No, James is not saying that. When Jesus suffered on the cross, he suffered. He suffered so bad that his capillaries blew and his blood came from the skin. He's so anxious. He's in so much pain. He doesn't want to do it, but still he endures because he knows the joy to be with the Father when it's all finished. And that is joy. That's what James is talking about. Count it all joy. Not necessarily, oh, I'm so glad that I have cancer. I'm so glad that I lost my leg. I'm so glad that I broke my wrist. No. We know our ultimate destiny. We suffer. And God also suffers with us when we suffer. So why do God give us trials? Because it's for testing of our faith. God knows our faith. It's us that we don't know our faith. I said I have faith, but a lot of times I don't. This morning when I get into the car and come here, I have complete confidence, 100%, that I will get here. If not, I'll get off the car and go back home. Won't you do the same? If you don't have complete confidence that your car can bring you to church this morning, you won't be here. We have so much faith in ourselves that we can drive the car to here, or ride with our parents, or ride with our friends, that we'll get here, that we'll get into the car and come here. If not, we just go back home. Wait another 5 minutes until we have full confidence. Right? That's how much faith we have in ourselves. But do we have that kind of faith in God every day? When God answers my prayer, I get an A in my test. Oh, yes, I believe in you, God. I have so much faith in you. But when I get a B, a C, a D, a E, or F, no, God, you're so far away. You're not honest. You are not faithful. How can I be faithful to you? And that is faith. That's why God is asking for our steadfastness, to endure our faith, not just faith in 5 minutes, 5 seconds, or 5 days, or 5 months. It's having be faithful to God all our life. Be faithful. Amen, brother. Why does he want that? That is for our own good. He wants us to endure so we can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He wants us to have a perfect and complete life. And we are our own enemies. We don't listen to God. He wants us to lack in nothing. But when we lack anything, do we go to him? There are times we do, there are times we don't. Let's see. That's why we have trials. Now that we know the reason for our trials and God's expectation and intention for our trials is for our own good, so we can have a perfect life and complete life. So what does trials do to us? Trials draw us closer to God. In verse 5, it said, if any of you lacks wisdom. In Greek, this is a command. This is not a question. This is a command. If any of you lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask God, who gives generously. Let him ask God, they say, pray. We pray to God. That's how we ask, right? This is a command. Let him ask God. Who is God? This is a character who gives generously to all without reproach. What does that mean? God will give you no matter what. If you ask, if you pray, you go to him. Without reproach is, oh no, how dare you didn't listen to me, and now you come to me. How dare all your friends fail me, and then you come to me. How dare you say I am no good. No, God will not give you any reproach, not give you any redemption. Ask you, how dare you didn't do this? He just give it to you because he is so generous without condition. The only condition is let him ask in faith with no doubting. When we pray, do we pray in full faith? Do we pray with no doubts? Or do we just pray, God help me? A lot of times, do we even go to God the first place when we have trouble, when we are suffering? Do we call up your friend? Do we call up our advisor? Or do we go to the Google and ask internet, hey, I'm having anxiety attack. My friend doesn't like me. My boyfriend just dropped me. I lost my job. My kids don't respect me anymore. My parents don't like me. Where do we go? Do we go to God? Maybe. Do we go to ourselves and ask for solutions? Possibly. Do we go to God and ask him in faith, knowing that he will deliver? That's where we got to see. This is let the lowly boast in his exaltation. This is another mandate. This is a mandate because we are sons and daughters of God. We are authorized to go to him to ask. We have the power. He gave us permission. It's us that we don't go. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. Why? Because if we humble ourselves and exalt God, this is what James is talking about. We need to be humble and go to God and ask God, I am broken. I need your help. I'm broken. Please help me. I run out of wisdom. Please give me wisdom. I need an exit. I need an emergency door. Show me. I need the wisdom to see. Open my eyes so I know where you want me to go. And after that, we boast. We give our testimony how God has helped us. We share with our friends. We share that with our family. And this is why I'm sharing you with you this story today. 3 weeks ago, I took a final. I studied for it. It was online, so I can do it at home. Just finish everything before 12 o'clock or 11:59, we're fine. Just hit ding. The final is 75 minutes. 10 questions with I'm supposed to answer in a short essay. I study for it. I know my material. I know what they are asking. I look at the first one. I don't know. Second one. I don't know. The third one, I'm not sure. The fourth one, what is he asking? The fifth one, I said, God, are you kidding me? I got to answer 10 questions. First of all, I don't know. I'm not sure. What is he asking? It's not fair. I deserve better. I studied for this. Why do you treat me like this? The fifth one, God, are you kidding? He said, yes, this is your test. Take it. I said, no, I don't want to take this. I deserve better. I deserve at least a B or maybe an A. God said, go on. The fifth one, I'm 50-50. Then ding! Remember I was at home by myself? The books are right behind me. The empty tab on my browser is right there. What do you think? You want to take the easy way out? I'll tell you later. He said, that's why he said, verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast until under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised those who love him. Blessed is the man. What is blessings? Blessings, most of us will think about is material blessings. Have you ever thought of spiritual blessings? Spiritual blessings. I mean, material blessings are good. I mean, they're only temporary. Until the day we die, I mean, everything go to ash. But spiritual blessings are those who come from above, from the Lord, that encompass time and eternity. It also includes material and immaterial things. It's complete. It's perfect. That's what James is talking about, the spiritual blessings that we're asking for. Of course, we ask for material blessings, but we ask for more. We aim higher. And God has promised to deliver spiritual blessings to us. Why don't we ask for spiritual blessings instead of just material blessings? I just want an A. I just want to pass. I just want to go to this university. I just want this job. I just want to have a perfect wife. I just want to have a perfect boyfriend. Of course, those are all good. Don't get me wrong. But we are promised more. We have the mandate to ask for more. Let him ask God. Let us ask God. Remain steadfast under trial. That is to endure. Not just having faith in 5 minutes or 5 seconds, but to go on, just like to run a marathon. For those who stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. The crown of life is the crown of eternal life. That encompasses time and eternity. Then includes that we will be with the Lord. Because our God has promised that to us. Because he loved us so much. So we talk about trial. So let's talk about what is temptation. Temptations distance us from God. Verse 13, he said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself cannot. He himself tempts no one. Let no one say he is tempted. This word, by. In Greek, it's called, it just has three simple letters, A-P-O, apo. It means distance. It means indirect. A lot of times, even though God didn't cause us to suffer, we blame God. Right? Let's start from Adam and Eve. When Adam sinned, Adam said, what did he say? God is the woman, you bring it to me. That's blame. What did the woman say? Hey, it's the snake. That is blame. James is telling us not to blame God. God cannot tempt us because God would never tempt us. Then you may say, okay, in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. What are you talking about, George? Matthew is talking about more than we usually think. He is asking us to pray to God to protect us from sin. When we are in trial, when we are being tempted, that don't tempt over our ability. When Jesus was tempted, did he sin? No. So don't blame God, because this is why. 14, he said, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire or lust. Then desire or lust, then it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Actually, who tempts us? We. Who tempt me? Me. Remember, I was taking the test when I saw the books, when I saw the empty tab on the browser. I was thinking about, I'll take the easy way out. Why don't I cheat? Just do that. Just flip the book. Nobody knows. I was the only one in the room. But I know God knows. I pray, God, help me. What should I do? He reminded me, I'm a Christian. My identity is in Christ. Just like Pastor Matt addressed me, Brother George. Brother George is not my title. George is my name. My identity in Christ is I am a brother of Christ. That's why I'm called Brother George. It's not my title. It's my identity in Christ. I'm a brother of Christ. He reminded me that you don't. This is for you. If you contempt yourself, because why? There's a desire that comes from me. Trials come from God, come from outside. Temptation comes from inside us. That's why it said, it's lure, enticed. You can be all kinds of traps out there. But just like John said in 1 John 2, 16 and 17, it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Those are three major lusts. What's the lust of flesh? We want to please ourselves. I want to please my sinful body. And there's a lie between it from Satan. You deserve it. When you deserve it, you'll please yourself. When I deserve it, I'll please myself. I'll do whatever I want. This is my body. I can please myself. I just want joy. I just want happy. Whatever I do, it doesn't matter whether I'm watching pornography or shopping or overeating. That's my flesh. That's my body. I can gain as much weight as I want. Don't get me wrong. Eating is not a sin. But overeating, getting indulgence, can be. That's the lust of the flesh. How about lust of the eyes? That's when you see something that you become jealous, become covetous. Maybe you have sexual desire. That is the lust of your eyes. And there's a lie behind that. Satan's lie is, you deserve better. You deserve more. That's why he puts so many things out there. Those are baits. And we fall into it. Just like the dumb fish who bite on the bait and get caught. Just like the animal get trapped because of the piece of meat, they step in the trap and get caught. And we fell into it a lot of times. And the pride of life, the lie from Satan is, you can be God. That's why we become prideful. We don't have to listen to God. God listened to us. That's the pride of life. So we got to be careful. Temptation comes from us. That's the difference between trial and temptation. Trial comes from outside. Temptation comes from inside. The purpose of trial is God to make us complete and perfect, have a life in Him. For Satan, his purpose is to separate us from God eternally. We'll never be with God. Oops, forgot. Yes, when desire, this is our desire, our lust inside. We have that. When it's conceived, it's just like having a baby. So sin is not instantaneous. It's not spontaneous. It's been inside of us. It's been brewing in our life a lot of times. We have all the sinful desires inside of me brewing, ready to go. When it's given birth and full grown, we'll sin. And when this sin is full grown, that is our death. That's our eternal separation from God. So we need to endure all trials and stay away from temptation by not tempting ourselves. No one can tempt us except ourselves. Don't blame God. Don't blame anyone else. The only one we can blame is ourselves. So how can we triumph in God? We can triumph through God the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 16, it said, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation of shadows due to change." I pray, God give me the wisdom not to cheat. I finished the test. I didn't finish everything. God is faithful. He let me pass. As a matter of fact, I did better than I thought. I got an 86, which is a B minus, which is okay. My identity is in Christ. That's why I can say my identity is in Christ. I'm not a seminarian. I'm not an A student. That's not my title. That's not me. I don't need to be a perfectly good student. I don't need to finish every test with a perfect score. My identity is Christ. I can stand up boldly to say, because I humble myself, become a lowly brother, that I can praise God for his deliverance, because he is faithful. He loves me and he loves you. He loves every one of us. And that's why we can triumph through God the Son, Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, is from heaven. That's why we ask for spiritual blessings that encompass time and eternity, material and immaterial. There's no variation. God will never change. This is how God is. Because of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It is God's will to bring us forth by the word of truth. Actually, to bring us forth in Greek, it also means to give birth. Actually, in NLT, it's translated into, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. He chose to give us life. He chose to give birth to us. God chose that. That's how much he loved us. He chose to give us birth, to give birth to us. Can you imagine that? So we can be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Remember, we are not first fruits. That's why they said it's a kind of first fruits. Who is the first fruit? 1 Corinthians 15:20 said, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Jesus is the first fruits. We can be a kind of him because One day, our physical body will be like Jesus, raised from the dead. Now we are spiritually revived. We have our spiritual life. But still, we're still waiting for that day, just like Jesus. That's why we can be, or will be, should be, a kind of first fruit of his creatures, of all his creations. Most importantly, is the word of truth. God always gives us the word of truth. What does Satan give us? The word of lies. Remember those lies? You deserve it. You deserve better. You deserve more. You can be God. Those are all the lies. Underlying all the baits that Satan has put out. So because of the word of truth, that way it can be a kind of first fruits. That's why we need to listen to God's words. We need to know God's words. And that's why NXCC, the English congregation, always also has a vision of rooted in the word, grounded in love. We are all rooted in God's word. This is where all the truth is, where all the wisdom is, where all the power is. We are entitled, we are empowered, we are authorized to ask God for all this. But we need to know his word to what to ask. Because of his word, we were saved spiritually. Because of his word, that we can know the truth. That's why his word is so important to us. And I really encourage you, brothers and sisters and friends, that we all start a systematically Bible reading plan, if you haven't started one yet. As the church has one, but you're also welcome to start your own. Read the word systematically daily. I mean, I know you, can really read. I read slow. On the average, a person can finish reading the Bible in 48 to 60 hours, nonstop. 48 to 60. But if you read 10 minutes a day, then you can finish reading the Bible in 1 year. There's less than 1,200 chapters. 10 minutes a day, 365 days a year, then you'll finish reading the Bible. And I highly encourage you. I'm doing that myself too. I highly encourage myself to do it on a daily basis, 10 minutes a day, or at least 10 minutes a day. Then we can finish the Bible in 1 year. And that's where the wisdom is. That's where the truth is. If you really want to be a Christian, then you need to know the word. Just like I have this desire, this passion to be in the word. When we go through trials, then we know what is temptation, what is coming from God, what is coming from Satan, and what is coming from ourselves. The desire inside me, the lust inside me, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All those lies from Satan. How can you tell? Only God can give us wisdom. A lot of us, we just count on ourselves to look for the nearest exit when there is trouble. Do we ever ask God? If you count on yourself, it may not work all the time. I urge you and myself, every one of us, we stay true to God, stay close to God, and stay close to his word, so we can be empowered by him, so we can have his kind of wisdom to really live out what kind of life? A perfect life, lacking in nothing. And that's our hope, that we'll be a kind of first fruits, just like Jesus. Father God, let's bow our head. Father God, we thank you for your message. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for using James to speak to us, to teach us how to walk this life on earth. You promise us eternal life, but you never say our life is full of unexpected things. This is who you are. We know that you are faithful, that one day you will bring us to you. But until that day, there can be surprises. We can be hurt by others that who sin. We can be hurt by those who purposely harm us, or we can be hurt by those unintentionally. Help us to get through all the sufferings. Help us to endure and be faithful in you all this time. Help us to become fully trusting in you, that we come to you and ask for wisdom every time we are in trouble. Keep us rooted in the word so we can be grounded in love. Father God, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for keeping us faithful so we can persevere and endure. Father God, may you be with every one of us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.